Would you pray with me? Give us eyes to see what you see, O God, your world filled with abundance as though it were a field ready for harvest. Give us ears to hear what you hear, O God, your people crying for your justice and your mercy. Give us a heart to love as you love, O God, and appoint us as your faithful workers, bearing peace wherever we go. Amen.
Amen.
This morning's gospel lesson begins with a sense of urgency. The harvest is ready in the fields. The stalks of wheat are lying heavy with grain. These are images that would have struck home with Jesus' first century audience. This is what wealth looked like to them. When God smiled on the earth and sent plenty of sunshine and rain, all the hard preparatory work of plowing and planting paid off. A plentiful harvest meant riches and security, and it was a joyful, exciting prospect. But the harvest wasn't a harvest until it was harvested. You needed to cut down the stalks of wheat, gather them in, shake loose the rich seeds and gather those seeds into your barn, and then, only then, could you rest easy. The environment that Jesus is describing is one of great opportunity, great potential, something the disciples didn't create, but something he wants them to perceive. And the urgency comes from the fact that the richness of the harvest may well exceed the capacity of the laborers to gather it. The harvest, of course, is meant to stand in for God's kingdom, God's inbreaking reign. It's God's blessings made manifest for God's people. It's all the things that Jesus talks about at the start of his ministry. Good news for the poor, release for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus shares his mission, shares his power, sending out 70 missionaries. Now, there was a precedent for this in the scripture. In the book of Numbers, Moses complains to God about having to lead the people all by himself. And so God has the people choose 70 elders who will receive a share of Moses' spirit. They'll share in his prophetic power so that they can help the people reach the promised land. And so in the same way, trying to reach a different promised land, Jesus appoints these 70 missionaries to go on his behalf, ahead of him, into all the towns that he's about to visit, to preach his message and to heal the sick with his power. When I was little, my family used to visit my great aunt in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and we used to go to worship at her church. It's an old Presbyterian church, older than our country. And because it was founded before the Revolutionary War, there's some stories that have to do with Independence Day. The story that we heard was that there was this large tree in the churchyard, and when the British forces invaded Pennsylvania, an express rider arrived with the news during a Sunday worship service, and so the whole congregation of this church poured out into the yard from the sanctuary, and they gathered in a circle around this tree, and they pledged their support for the revolutionary cause. We often think about the American Revolution as a struggle between armies, and that was part of it, but I don't know that the war would have been won and our nation's independence achieved without the participation of people like these, who perceived that something new was happening, something new was being birthed in their midst. And so Jesus sends out his disciples, like those express riders, to proclaim the revolution of the kingdom of God. He sends them off in pairs, and that's because in Middle Eastern cultures, you had to have two witnesses agree to something before you could accept the testimony as true. So these partners in mission could strengthen and support each other on the road as well. But let's talk about how they accomplished their task, because I think that's where we can learn something about what this means for our own calling and in our own lives. When these two come into a town, they're supposed to find one house, one family. They're not supposed to jump around from house to house. The 70 find one family that they spend time with, that they form a relationship with. And I think that's true of us too. I think God means to reach other people through us, not by sending us going door to door, knocking for strangers, not going from house to house constantly, but through relationships that we form with the people around us. God can speak to others through us when our friends and our coworkers trust us, when we've already gone out of our way to become helpful friends and attentive listeners. God's rule, God's kingdom, means that we're at peace, we're in right relationship with each other, because that's part of God's intention for us. And so have you ever thought that you could show God's kingdom is near just by being intentionally present with someone in the course of your day-to-day routine? The second thing to realize about how Jesus sends these pairs out is that he tells them to say, "Peace be to this house." There's no room for judgment. They simply offer the peace before they've gotten to know people, before they know what's wrong. The place could be a pigsty. The members of the family might not be speaking to each other, but it doesn't matter. Jesus tells the 70 to announce to their hosts that God's wish for them is peace, shalom, wholeness and health, rightness in their relationships with each other and with God. And if it's a place where God is already at work bringing that peace, then the family will be blessed. And if the family's not open to receiving that gift, then Jesus says, "Your peace will return to you." In other words, the disciples won't be diminished. They're not doing anything wrong when they offer a gift that isn't able to be received, at least not yet. And it's the same thing for the towns that they come into. Notice that if the town doesn't welcome them and their message, the only thing that Jesus tells them to do is shake the dust from their feet and say, "Whether or not you realize that the kingdom of God has come near to you." In the grand scheme of things, it's pretty mild. It's as if they were to say, "Sorry, you're making a big mistake by not taking our message seriously." And then they just move on. He doesn't tell the 70 to curse these towns. If they won't listen to God's voice speaking through missionaries, then God will have to reach them some other way. But the point is that Jesus tells them to offer blessing, and if it's not accepted, to move on and to trust God to take care of these people. I think what this means for us is that we're always to trust that God is at work in people's lives. Someone may not have a religion or believe in God or believe in anything. And these things matter because as human beings, we're built to be in relationship with each other and with God. And it makes a difference when our minds are open to this. But just because someone doesn't believe, it doesn't mean that God is shut out of that person's life. So maybe we can help people to realize that God's kingdom, God's rule, God's intention for them is near if we pay attention to their struggles and if we help them to recognize the strengths and the gifts that they have. And then in time, when they're ready, to help them realize where those blessings come from. Again, you can't do this as a fly-by-night missionary. This takes time. It takes getting to know someone and caring about them and listening to them when they talk about their struggles and their hopes. But I think it's one of the ways that we as followers of Jesus can help people to see that God's kingdom is near enough to touch. Jesus tells the 70 to eat whatever is provided for them. I like that part. Something special happens at a meal. We tend to let our guard down. After all, everybody needs to eat. It's one of the great equalizers. But we also form community when we share a common meal. We experience the same textures and tastes in the food. We become more open to the other people around the table. And when Jesus took his leave of the disciples during that Passover in Jerusalem, he gave them an act to remember him by when they come together as a community, a shared meal that we'll be celebrating in just a few moments. This need to eat that we have is a gift because we can use it to form relationships and community. Have you ever thought that you could help people realize God's kingdom is near just by making them a part of a community at your dinner table? Jesus talks about other things that the disciples can do. He tells them to heal and to proclaim the kingdom. And I think we can do those things too, but only after the hard work of forming relationships and offering peace, as the 70 do. And so when they come back, they're astounded at the work that God is able to do through them. Even the demons submit to us in your name, they tell Jesus, eagerly and joyfully sharing their experiences. Those dark forces inside all of us that want to cut us off from other people and God can't stand in the face of this offer of peace and community. Still, Jesus says, don't celebrate these accomplishments. Don't put all your spiritual self-worth in how things play out around you. Celebrate the fact that your names are written in heaven, he tells them, that you're on God's roster, that you're participating in this work of announcing that God's kingdom, God's rule, God's life-giving intention for the whole world is near. We often look at this story and we place ourselves in the role of the disciples. But just as often, it's true that we're the ones who need to be awakened to the nearness of God's kingdom. I think of the story from the Old Testament of Naaman the Syrian, who needed to receive that blessing of healing, and the one to point him in the right direction was a servant girl. Sometimes that community, that peace, that relationship comes from the places that we least expect it. And so we're the ones, so often, who are called upon to welcome strangers who come with nothing but the clothes on their backs. We're called to extend to them hospitality and welcome so that the peace of God that they bring with them falls on our house. Jesus says to those he sends out that he's sending them out like lambs into the midst of wolves. But he says, whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The welcome that we extend or fail to extend to vulnerable sojourners is the welcome we extend or fail to extend to Jesus himself. So may you perceive that God's kingdom is near to you in your life. May you seek out deep and lasting connections with other people. May you learn to recognize and show the ways that God's peace is alive and active in the lives of others. And may God speak through you to announce that God's kingdom has come near. Amen.